Time to hit the links with Ned Michaels and Barney Ellery. It's Global Golf Radio, presented by Franklin American Mortgage Company on 104.5 The Zone.
That was a new introduction. I think that was. I mean, the sun is going down. It's perfect time to hit the links. That's gone. Much like Franklin American Mortgage, who has been gone for 2 years. But anyway, they let us talk about golf on the radio, so we are grateful and honored and humbled. Welcome to Global Golf Radio. Ned Michaels, somewhere out there in the universe, is my man, my partner in crime when it comes to golf talk radio, Barney Ellery. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing great, Ned. Good to talk to you.
And Ryan Albanese. As always, he's the only man in the studio right now. So, Ryan Albanese, we are extremely grateful for your hard work. Listen, there aren't many live sports in the world right now, but golf, oh, yeah. It's there. It is Dustin Johnson again. And it was just a tournament this week up at the Travelers Championship that nobody wanted to win. We're going to obviously delve deep into that. What happened? Does Rory McIlroy have a problem? I've been saying he does. He keeps playing well, but not exactly at the right time. Bryson DeChambeau, he's getting bigger. He's like the Incredible Hulk. Every week, he just gets a little bit bigger. Brendan Todd almost secured Player of the Year. He was close. Not quite, but close until Sunday. It was one shot. One little stinking 12-yard shot, and it cost him the entire tournament because there were five of them that subsequently followed. We go to Detroit, which is going to be interesting. And more players are testing positive for COVID. Are we concerned? Well, we'll let you know. 615-737-1045. Even though we're not in studio, you can still call in. It's always been your show. What do you want to talk about? 615-737-1045. Barney, Dustin Johnson, he wins. He's won every single season of his career. There are only two players who have done it longer than he has, but for a minute there, it looked like he didn't want to win.
Yeah, and so Dustin Johnson, I'll tell you what, with this win, it is now his 13th consecutive year of having at least one win, and he is all of a sudden positioning himself in some very, very, very Hall of Fame rarefied air that only few in the golf history have won in many more consecutive years than what he's done right now. Very few and not by many, but congratulations to him. And for those who missed it, he winds up getting the miracle of all miracles on the 15th hole, which is the short, drivable little par four. But the problem is that there's water on the left, and then from the green, it slopes towards the water. And in case you missed it, where the line of the hazard is and the edge of the water cannot be more than, let's say, about a $5 foot long. And his ball somehow stayed out of the water, stayed on the bank, but within the boundary of the hazard. From there, he flubs a chip, chips the next one to 4 feet, and walks away with a miracle par. And Ned, without knowing exactly how many events you've won in your life, I'm sure there's been numerous and several, I have to believe that on almost every single one of the wins, unless you ran away with it, some kind of an unexpected miracle moment, maybe a long putt, sinking a chip, hit a wedge that goes in, something like that has happened for you too. And that to me is really what sparked Dustin Johnson to win the Travelers this year.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. As you were saying that, I was going through the Rolodex, and it's long, Barney, and distinguished in terms of wins. And every one of them, you're right. And it's always kind of like somewhere in the last four holes. And it is a long putt, or it is a good break, or it is one miraculous shot, one up and down that you can key in on. So that was the difference. He got a huge break, took advantage of it, but he also had hit one out of bounds a few holes earlier. And this is an interesting stat because everybody says, and it always drives me crazy when you hear golf announcers say, okay, well, Dustin Johnson hit the fade, and he takes the left side of the golf course out of play. Well, that's not accurate. And you can make the case that he hits it too far, and so he goes through dogleg, but that'd be a very small percent Dustin Johnson missed left on the PGA Tour almost more than anybody over the past 2 years. So, yeah, okay, he likes to play a fade, and he's taking the left side of the golf course out of play. Not the case at all. And when he hits it out of bounds, which way did he miss it? He missed it left. So if you ever hear an announcer say that, well, let's just leave it at that. Statistically, it would be not accurate. Mm-hmm. But he hits it out of bounds after Brendan Todd has short-sided himself up against the bunker on this kind of crazy lip in the deep rough. But I got to tell you, frankly, Barney, it didn't look like that hard of a shot. I mean, he had ball way below his feet, but it looked like one of those ones you kind of hit high on the face. It comes off of the neck of the club, and it comes off with no spin, and you hit it 6 feet, and you either make it or you don't. And he cold shanked it. Now, I wasn't there. It could have been far more difficult, but he cold shanked it. And then he made a debatable decision not to take a drop when he was up against a television tower. And then he flubbed the next one, and he two putted. And that was it. That was it. He'd been playing well. He made all pars. Just nothing had gone in, but he was hitting it fine. He was well in control of himself. And next thing you know, he's gone. And it's Dustin Johnson's tournament. And all you got to do is get it to the house. And he hits one 45 yards left out of bounds.
I'll get back and then he got, to go ahead.
Well, then he got a big break, but he took advantage of it. And then he dropped an absolute missile on 18.
I'll get back to Brendan Todd here in a minute. But to get back to shine some more light on Dustin Johnson, I will say this in his illustrious Hall of Fame career. He did something that I don't know that I've ever heard of ever in following PGA Tour golf from the time I've been a child. Because did you know that in his win, for a guy who hits the ball so far that he was actually fourth in strokes gained putting, and as impressive as that is, did you also know that he did it on his third different putter in as many weeks?
I did not know that.
How
really?
About that? Yeah.
I don't know. Is that good or bad?
He's, well, who knows? But he's been auditioning putters, and on basically a putter that he's had for less than a week, caught lightning in a bottle, and wound up finishing fourth in strokes gained putting. And when you hit the ball that far and you're in the top five in that putting category, that putting statistic, well, you know what? There's an above-average chance that you're going to win, and doggone it, he did.
Great putters don't switch putters. They don't do it. Lauren Robertson, Ben Crenshaw, Snedeker. You know, Tiger, he's won all but, what, two majors with his Scotty Cameron.
Right.
Now, Jack Nicklaus had a lot of putters, but I wouldn't say he was a great putter. I would say he was a great clutch putter. That makes me nervous. Unless this putter just matches up, but rarely does that happen with guys who switch putters a lot. And Dustin's been struggling with his putting now for, I don't know, 8 months, maybe a little bit longer. So for him to be fourth in putting, he won't be able to do that every week. But just for that he can do that, he's going to be very, very hard to beat. But it also makes you wonder, it'll be, what, 3 weeks before he has a new putter in, I bet?
I guess we'll see. But now I'm ready to talk about Brendan Todd, because the thing about Brendan Todd, for those who've long since forgotten, wins in back-to-back events back in the fall, and then doggone came so close to winning a third consecutive event, which really would have been amazing, all the while that he was gone in the world rankings. I'm telling you, he was right on the verge that he was really close to selling insurance out there on West End, I believe.
But you and I had a world ranking, maybe better.
That's right, but then he finds his game, let's say about 7 or so months ago, back before Christmas, but anyhow, and then here he is at the Travelers up there in Connecticut, playing great and playing so great. Ladies and gentlemen, try doing this, that Brendan Todd at a PGA Tour event on a PGA Tour golf course, I believe, hit 50 of the first 52 fairways that he had played. And Ned, that makes me want to say, shut your mouth.
Shut it. That was my shut your mouth, too, by the way, because it follows up every hand answer, and Hilton had only missed seven greens for the entire week.
Right.
And you can't screw it up that bad if you hit 50 or 52 fairway. You just can't screw it up that bad. But
Well, and then that's it. Until he gets the 12th hole, and all of a sudden, from about 148 yards, he misses the green inexplicably, and then from there, lo and behold, one of the best players in the world, playing great, has every possible chance of winning this event. And the next thing you know, it's like he got replaced with a 14 handicap. And the 14 handicapper, he's nervous. And next thing you know, a sequence of comedy of errors happens to take place and completely torpedoes his possibility of winning the tournament. And just like that, on the back nine, with only a handful of holes left to go, the tournament's gone.
You know how you can tell when a professional athlete, but specifically a professional golfer, I don't want to use the word choking because that's not fair, but when they're nervous, when the moment wasn't too big for him. He's already won twice. You pointed that out. He almost won the island for the third straight time, as you just pointed out. So the moment wasn't too big. But when the white noise is so loud in your brain and the doubt is so big, you can tell not by how the shots that they play, but the decisions that they make.
Right.
And I thought Nick Faldo, lead analyst for CBS, did a wonderful job. After he shanked it, the ball rolled over the green, and he's up near the television tower. And he takes a practice swing. And in the practice swing for the swap shot that he needs to hit, Brendan Todd looks like he kind of nipped the edge of the television tower, which, of course, you would get a drop from. And he makes a couple more swings, and, okay, it's not that big of a deal. Because he's got a good lie, maybe he doesn't want to take a drop and doesn't want to risk getting a bad lie. And Nick Faldo did a great job of kind of staying on the point and saying it's in his mind. You can tell he's thinking about it. And sure enough, he kind of shorted the swap shot. He kind of flicked the finish a little bit. It was absolutely in his mind. And then that led to the flub, which led to the next flub, because now you're numb. That shank, the white noise must have been so loud in his brain. That's when your caddy has to step in and has to be the calmer of the mind. And he has to say, hey, man, I know you got a good lie. This is bothering you. Let's take a drop. And if we get a bad lie, whatever, we'll bump it up there. Because even if he bumped it onto the green somewhere and misses the putt, it's not catastrophic. It doesn't end his opportunity to win the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And this took him out of the tournament. And so, to me, that said, he didn't handle the moment of that shank well. It overwhelmed him. That specific moment, not trying to win the tournament, not that, but he didn't know what to do, and he didn't handle it well. And it was the next, it was the decision-making on the next shot that, in my opinion, what really cost him.
No, that's it. Up to that moment, he's one of the best players in the world, playing like one of the best players in the world, and then that's it. And all of a sudden, it's like there's an alien abduction moment, and all of a sudden, it's like a 15 handicap just showed up. And it's like, who the heck are you? What'd you do with Brendan Todd? I mean, the guy was a machine. And now all of a sudden, that's it. Again, you got 15 handicaps that can do better than what he did from where he was. But anyhow, maybe for him, again, trying to stay positive, that look, for let's say about what? Let's say about 65, 66 holes, he played great. And with any luck, next time he's in that situation with the back nine, with a handful of holes left to go in the back nine, he's going to finish the job like he did back in the fall.
It's going to be interesting to see the Ryder Cup. I don't know if you caught it. I think Nick Faldo let the cat out of the bag. And unless I missed something today, which is possible, because it was a little bit of a crazy day in my world, they haven't announced yet that the Ryder Cup has been canceled, have they?
Not that I'm aware of.
Yeah. Some announcement was supposed to come this week. At the end of it, Nick Faldo, I don't remember what hole they were on. I don't frankly remember who he was talking about. But he said, well, you know, it's a shame because they've canceled the Ryder Cup. And then he just kind of went about his business and kept talking. And I'm looking around saying, wait, they haven't canceled the Ryder Cup. Not yet. But Nick Faldo is Nick Faldo. European Ryder Cup royalty. Sir Nick Faldo. So he must already know that they're going to cancel the Ryder Cup. So Brendan Todd, who would be a shoe-in for the Ryder Cup,
right?
How do they do it next year? If they go to 2021, they're certainly not going to lock it in at the end of this season. They're going to extend it. And you just wonder, is he able to keep it up? Because right now he's been meteoric. He's been amazing. And he's so far but remember, he's done this before. He had a chance. He had a great season and wasn't able to make the Ryder Cup. I wonder if it's
so now, what would you say if we take a little break, and when we come back, we still need to talk about McIlroy. McIlroy's on your radar. I've got Jordan Spieth on my radar. I want to talk about that. Also, a Vanderbilt player did extraordinarily well. Phil Mickelson had the 36-hole lead. And then we got to talk about the best player in the world pumping a bunch of iron. So what do you think?
Yeah, I like all of that, especially the Vandy player. Unbelievable. And you must have a very big radar that goes a long way out if Jordan Spieth is on it. Stick with us, Global Golf Radio. Oh, Canada. I don't actually know any of the words. If I had really been on my game, I would have had it. I would have had Ryan Albany play the Canadian National Anthem, because Barney just told me today is National Canadian Day, or whatever you guys celebrate.
That's right. Yeah, whatever we celebrate.
Whatever you celebrate. What's it called?
Canada Day.
That's so Canadian.
Yeah, I mean,
we don't need any prepositions. We're just going to Canada Day. That's going to keep it simple.
That's right. It's a sort of a lower. It's not as big as sophisticated as the 4th of July, but good reason to celebrate Canada at a time of the year that you know there shouldn't be any snow. So there you go.
You think you know? If this is your first show with us and the first time you've listened, Barney is from our frozen neighbor north. It's where he grew up. Still his family there. He drives 800 hours every year to make the Mecca at least once a year. So happy Canada Day. I'm glad you do, by the way, because you bring back those delicious, wonderful, fluffy, cloud-like Mae West things that I just cannot keep my hands off.
That's right.
615-737-1045. It is Global Golf Radio, and it is your show. We're going to go to the phone lines. I think Dylan is on hold. Dylan, what's on your mind? Thanks for calling in tonight.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Actually, I didn't know Barney was from Canada. That's funny. It's very appropriate. I didn't know you guys may have be planning to talk about this, but I just wanted to touch on Mackenzie Hughes and that amazing back nine that he had. I can't remember exactly. I feel like 34 or 5 holes in that putt on 17. I think it was about 47 feet, breaking almost 90 degrees. I mean, that was incredible. I think that's the only time that you realize there aren't fans, because fans would have lost their minds seeing that putt go in. And he just had a great day. But I look forward to hearing your thoughts on Rory and Jordan, and I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
Dylan, as always, man, thanks for being part of the show. Remember, everybody, this is your show. So call in. Even though we're not in studio, we're happy to take your call. 615-737-1045. Mackenzie Hughes. Barney, this Canuck, he almost broke my heart. Almost ripped it apart. He makes this, as Dylan alluded to, this ridiculously beautiful, unbelievably imaginative putt on 17. If you know the green, kind of a kidney-shaped beam with water in front. And the pin, the hole location was cut just short of this ledge that dissects the green. And so he was on the bad side of the ledge. So he's got to go all the way up, basically stop the ball, and then it just kind of turns 90 degrees right. There's no way you're making this thing. Zero. I bet you every time, as much as you want. And doggone if the guy doesn't drain it. And I said, that's beautiful. That was great. That was awesome. And then I realized, wait a minute. If he birdies the last hole, my man, my fellow Commodore Will Gordon, who missed a short little nothing, a little finicky something on 17, makes a bogey. He birdied 18. So he has to finish in at least a tie for third, I believe, in order to get his special temporary status on the PGA
Tour.
So Mackenzie Hughes, there are only a couple guys out there who can break Will Gordon's heart, and he's one of them. And he gets to 18, he misses the green long left. Gosh, who was he playing with? You remember who he was playing with? Tell me now. It'll come to me. Anyway, if both of these guys birdie 18, then Will Gordon doesn't get special temporary status on the PGA Tour. So I'm freaking out. Sure, Will Gordon was freaking out. And so Mackenzie Hughes misses the green, kind of long left. No chance that he's making it. And he made it. I mean, are you kidding me? He was like 800 feet away, through the fringe, over the river, through the woods, and he makes it. So kudos to him. But now I'm thinking, gosh, who was he playing with? Because if this guy birdies it also, who finished second? Help me out. Having a complete senior Strelman. Moment.
Kevin Streelman.
Yeah, so he's playing with Streelman. If Streelman birdies it, he's not only tied for the lead. So anyway, Mackenzie Hughes, kudos to him, because remember what he did earlier this year at the Honda on 17, playing alongside his good buddy who won for the first time on the PGA Tour? He drained like an 85-footer from the back of the green on that ridiculously treacherous 17th hole at the Honda, playing alongside, help me out, I'm having all kinds of senior moments tonight.
Sung
J.M., yeah. So for whatever reason, 17th hole in Mackenzie Hughes this year, he's made like 1,000 feet of putt. That's a good thing to do on Sunday, is make 80-footers for birdie. Impressive. Let's talk about Will Gordon.
Right here on Canada Day, the Mackenzie Hughes, he is part of there's never going to be a huge contingent of Canadian players on the PGA Tour, but there's always going to be about 2, 3, or 4, and Mackenzie Hughes is one of them. Nick Taylor, who won earlier in the year at Pebble Beach, is another one of them. And at any random moment, either one of those two guys are more than capable of playing well. Graeme Dillette, he kind of had that mantle for about 5-10 years ago, but now he is his career is seemingly absolutely going the wrong way. But Mackenzie Hughes is more than capable of playing very well at different times. But to me, congratulations to your fellow Commodore, Will Gordon, because if anyone saw this one coming, that on a sponsor exemption finishes third. And, Ned, do you want to know what the first thing that pops into my mind when Will Gordon does this?
Tell me.
Chase Koepka, who Monday qualifies and withdraws of the event, not because he or his caddy have the COVID, but to be preemptive with the possibility that they might have the COVID. They both, so Chase Koepka decides, no, I'm not going to play. And we talked about it, that again, you never know when the opportunity comes in for you to be there to take advantage of that opportunity. And so what if you substitute Will Gordon for Chase Koepka? But instead, it's Will Gordon takes advantage of an opportunity, plays great, plays in the final pairing, played great on Friday, plays the final pairing with Phil Mickelson on Saturday. And then that's it. As the weekend progresses along, Will Gordon, he held his own. And don't look now, ladies and gentlemen, but you've got another Vanderbilt Commodore that's out there on the PGA Tour.
Man, Barney, there's so many good things in what you just said. I have to start, though. I love the fact that you call it the COVID. That's like straight out of my grandma's era. Like, oh, yeah, he's got the COVID. Yeah. Killing me. Everybody out there, that's how we're addressing it from now on. Oh, did you get the COVID, did you? Oh, sorry about that. Yeah, well, he didn't have the COVID, but kudos to him for withdrawing. That's Chase Koepka in a preemptive way to make sure that, because he was hanging out with his brother and caddy had it. So that was number one, the COVID. That's fantastic. And you made a great point that I'd forgotten about. And we need to do a psychological study on this, because you see this all the time in sports, but really in golf. You talked about how Nick Taylor won at Pebble Beach earlier this year. It, for whatever reason, when a buddy of yours plays well and wins or plays really well, it motivates you, because you play with this guy and you know him. You say, well, he's not any better than I am. And then you go out and you play well. Remember last year, no Australians won on the PGA Tour.
Right.
And then this year they come out and had the wildfires. Yeah, and all of a sudden, Australians are winning everywhere. Leishman's winning. And then Adam Scotsman, like four Australians won.
Cameron Smith.
Yeah, Cameron. So it's very interesting that you point out that I just forgotten that Nick Taylor won at Pebble. And now Mackenzie Hughes, you know, I don't know which one was first, but I guess it was Nick Taylor playing well, then Mackenzie Hughes playing well at the Honda. So maybe David Hearn's going to play great. Mike Weir, who knows? Very interesting.
No, Mike Weir, not likely. But in the meantime, going back to Will Gordon, Ned, did you also know that it is his fourth top 21 in the last seven events? So Will Gordon, him finishing third, I don't know that maybe that should surprise as much as it does, because he's been sneaking in some top 20 finishes here under the radar.
He's really, really good. I don't know if you got a chance to watch him much out there, but he's a long hitter, is the llama. I mean, he's uncorking like 350-yard bombs. When he played at Vandy, if you've ever been to the Vanderbilt Legends Club, you know Franklin Road runs alongside the west side of the driving range. And it's a significant driving range. I think it's like 20-something acres. From one side to the other, Will Gordon was flying it into Franklin Road.
Whoops.
They had to ask him to stop hitting drivers. That's how long this guy is. So if you've ever been to the Vanderbilt Legends Club and you get on the lower range, and you get it all the way to the kind of as far as you can before you hit the mat, he's flying it onto Franklin Road. That's like a driver and a wedge.
Yeah, exactly.
This guy's long. Now, he made it to the semifinals of the United States Amateur at Pebble Beach. He, and I say this in a complimentary way, he is learning how to handle pressure. So it was no surprise that he didn't play all that great on Saturday in that big moment with Phil Mickelson. But what I loved was how he rebounded, and then what he said afterwards. On Sunday, he was looking at the leaderboard because he didn't think it was a realistic expectation to keep his head down and not see it. So instead of trying to deflect it and waste energy trying to deflect it, he's looking at it, he's embracing it, and he's seeing his name at the top of the leaderboard. And I mean, it really made a difference. And now that so what special temporary exemption allows you is as many sponsor invites as you can get. He will get as many as he wants. And by the end of the year, you know, with a little bit of luck and no injuries or anything bizarre like that, he'll have a PGA Tour card. And he's a guy who takes a little while to get comfortable. Now, although the stat you just pointed out, top 21, would indicate that he's pretty doggone comfortable. But once he gets comfortable, watch out. Really, really watch out. He's a very talented kid.
So, Ned, I'm going to rapid fire to finish out this segment. McIlroy shoots 69-67 on the weekend, finishes 11th. Jordan Spieth, who's won in that place before, can do no better than a tie for 54th at 6-under. And the best player in the world right now in the last 3 weeks is Bryson DeChambeau, who's 46 under par in the last 3 weeks. And, Ned, would you believe me if I told you that he's a plus 36 in strokes gained off the tee in the last 3 weeks, with McIlroy being a plus 21. He's been in the top eight his last six tournaments, going all the way back to the Waste Management. But as great as he's playing, he's actually a minus 32 in strokes gained putting. But don't look now, Bryson DeChambeau, he is for real.
You nailed that stat. I mean, that is so hard to believe, that he's almost double strokes gained off the tee to McIlroy.
The second guy.
That's insane.
That's
absolutely insane.
There's that much disparity between those guys, and then everyone else trickles off thereafter. He's hitting it that well off the tee. It's insane.
This is where players have to be careful. We talked about last week where guys ruin their game chasing distance. Rory McIlroy, we saw him lift a lot of weight 5 years ago, almost hurt himself. I mean, Koepka, I could see like maybe Gary Woodland. I mean, you got to be careful. You cannot chase the distance that Bryson DeChambeau is laying out on the PGA Tour right now. You got to stick to your game.
So, Ned,
just hope that's good enough.
Stick to our game. And folks, when we come back, my good buddy Ned here, something happened to my good buddy Ned that I don't know that he saw coming, because Fox and the USGA are no more. So, folks, keep it right here. Listen, Globe Golf Radio. We're going to talk about that and a lot more when we come back.
It starts small.
All right, everyone, making the turn here at Global Golf Radio. I'm Barney Allen. I'm one of the golf teachers over at the Riverside Golf Center. And joined by Ned Michaels. And, folks, we've got a lot to talk about because now we're going to turn our attention to Fox's decision to basically just do away with the USGA. This was a contract that I think it initially started at Chambers Bay, if most people remember, in 2015. And I think it was supposed to be an 11-year contract, but unfortunately, they decide now that the U.S. Open was going to be later in the fall that they've got some conflicts between baseball, between college football, between the NFL, and they decide that, no, you know what, maybe this golf thing's not working out for us, and so they immediately step out of the scene and allow NBC to take care of it. And sadly and unfortunately, that also has implications with my friend Ned Michaels, who I know was going to get a haircut to get ready for all these USGA events on Fox.
I actually did. I had gone to Uncle. I had a couple events coming up, and I was going to see my parents. So I went to Uncle Classic Barbershop down in Nolensville. And Barney, I'm telling you, by the time I got done, it was like it had snowed hair. It was like a foot of hair around my chair. It was insane. My wife made me go, primarily because I had a full mullet. Like, one of the teenagers in my neighborhood drove by. I waved at him, and he stopped, and he goes, I like your hair. And I looked at his hair, and I said, yep, time for a haircut. Full-on mullet. But it was great. You know, they're a locally owned company. So it's just so important right now that we support our local companies and their safety protocol. You pull up, you wait in your car. They wave you in. You can check in online. You make an appointment online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But everybody wears masks, and it's like the same haircut experience. It's just you wait in your car instead of in their waiting area. So it was great. Kind of felt normal again. So if you're needing a haircut or a straight razor shave, check them out. UncleClassicBarbershop.com. That is absolutely my barbershop. And Barney, what's the expression, all dressed up with nowhere to go?
Yeah.
That is, that's the deal right now, because Fox, it was crazy. Just out of nowhere, said they're out. They're not doing golf anymore. And
yeah. Go ahead.
It caught everybody off guard. You know, I literally was getting a text. I got a text from the executive producer last week saying, hey, just bear with us. We're working through logistics. We'll get your contract to you. And, you know, I had four events left this year, women's amateur, U.S. amateur, U.S. Open, women's open. So, and they're big events because this is the first year. I've been working with them since 2015. I started as a relief analyst on the featured holes coverage at Chambers Bay. And Barney, for the past 6 years, I've just been kind of chopping away at the tree. You know, every year you make one step, half a step. And earlier, you may remember this year, I was the next guy in line, and Brett Quigley was on the team, but he was going to go through PGA Tour Champions qualifying school, but he played in Morocco. He got a sponsor's invite to Morocco, and doggone it if he didn't win the Moroccan Open for the PGA Tour Champions. So he was out, right? Because he was going to play the whole year on the PGA Tour Champions. So who got to fill his space? I did. I mean, complete euphoria for me and for Quigley, because I was excited for him as a human to win. But for me, like, that put me on the main television broadcast, which as an announcer, that's what you're after. That's the holy grail. So after 6 years, this was to be my first year on the full main telecast. So even with COVID, I thought, that's all right. You know, we're going to get in hopefully three or four events, and then I'll roll right into next year. And there's a long runway of opportunity that comes with that. And Sunday night, I got a text from somebody with a link to an article basically saying, is this true? Click on the article. And I got to tell you, I could not believe what I read, that effective immediately, Fox was no longer broadcasting golf. And they must have been, they must have been losing so much money just from an economic standpoint, that they wanted out. And they obviously had a lot of overlap with the NFL schedule, going up against the U.S. Open. They're going to put the U.S. Open on Fox Sports 1. That they actually are paying a percentage of what they were to pay to have it, and NBC is paying the other percentage. So they're paying not to broadcast the USGA Championship. That's how much they want it out. So yeah, a very bittersweet feeling. I told my wife, I feel like I missed Q school. I feel like I lost my card, because for about 2 days, it's just frustration, sadness, anger, kind of depression, melancholiness, you know, where you just feel sorry for yourself and you're wondering, what in the world am I going to do? Because that was, you know, I was going to have 6, 8, whatever events next year, all on the main telecast, which breeds a lot of other opportunities. But much like when you missed Q school, you dust yourself off and you're more motivated now than ever. So it just is, it's just a weird, weird deal that you wake up one day and they say that we're out. We're out of all of golf. Peace. But at the same time, it was such an amazing experience. I learned so much. I made so much progress. I got to go with Tiger on the course at Pebble Beach at the U.S. Open. Like, that is so cool. So top to bottom, you know, I wouldn't trade the experience. I just wish we got to keep doing it. That's all.
Well, and so other experiences and opportunities that opened up for you in that partnership, I guarantee that there's a lot of people that are listening that don't realize that Ned has also played a huge part in all sorts of video clips and rules decisions and things like that with the USGA library, to which I've been extremely proud of you for that. And so that still goes on. And then also you had the BBC that you also played a part with. But I'd like to think that whoever is all out there and stuff involved in golf, they're going to recognize your talents and what you can bring to the table, and hopefully other opportunities will emerge.
Well, man, I appreciate it. And that's just the deal. Is like you take a few days to lick your wounds, and then you pick yourself up, and you say, all right, I got to turn this hourglass over and create opportunities out of it. So, you know, I'm going to try to see if there aren't opportunities with the Golf Channel, NBC, and hopefully the European Tour comes back, and I'm able to get, was going to do kind of 10 to 15 events with them this year. Of course, that also is, that's up in the air would be optimistic. But it's, you know, it's just, this is the great thing about golf, is how it teaches you to regroup when you make a bogey or a double or you hit it in the woods. You know, you got to stay calm. You make the right decisions, and you just got to figure out a safe par. And so, yeah, it's brutal. There's no doubt it's absolutely brutal, and you acknowledge it, but you say, all right, that's cool. Keep the faith, and this is just put me in position where I'm supposed to be. There's a great expression that I always lean on in these times where every no is one step closer to yes. So this was something I had no control over, and when I look back on it, you know, I could be upset about how it went down, but I will much more focus on all the positives that came from the 6 years with Fox and all the great relationships and just how much fun we had getting to do something we love. So I think that's the deal of, you know, why you're upset is because you love doing it and you want to keep doing it and you just had no control over it. But I appreciate your encouragement, man.
Oh, absolutely. But no, that's it. Imagine how much you've grown in the last 6 years of all these different opportunities, and then that's it, and all these different things that you've witnessed and been a part of. And then let's also not discount also how you do, like, you're part of, like, what I call the internet coverage team at the Masters and stuff like that. And so that's it, and how much you've grown again, like I said, in the last 6 years. And when one door closes, another one opens, and I'd like to think that the sun is going to shine bright on you with something else.
Well, as I told my wife, I have a hotel of open doors somewhere out there. I just got to go find them. If I find one door, watch out, because I'm going to find a ton of them. But much like you, I mean, you've gone through some tough times teaching. You've had to change locations. You've gone through the flood. But in a way, like, we get better from it. That's life. So very frustrating, very disappointing, pretty brutal. But, you know, just going to, doggone, I'm going to birdie the next hole. So come on, bring it.
Attaboy. Attaboy. So, Ned, is it time for another quick break? When we come back, we'll talk about the Rocket Mortgage and a fan favorite that he is not playing his best. Does that sound good to you?
And can we talk about the COVID?
Yeah, on the PGA Tour? We'll talk about the COVID when we come back. So, folks, keep it right here. Listen to Global Golf Radio. So, all that and a lot more when we come back.
Nope.
Should I start talking? Is now, are we on? Ryan Albanese, I didn't hear you. I'm going to assume we're on. And I'm also going to assume that before long, Barney, we are going to get to go to Mississippi. And we're going to get to enjoy like some big, nice peel-and-eat shrimp, cocktail sauce. You don't do adult beverages, but I'll have one for you. Just put our feet in the sea. And then maybe place a few bets on who's going to win the Masters this year. And then ease our way to Fallen Oak to play one of the great golf courses in the Southeast. Or if you want to just make your way up to Dancing Rabbit, play 36 holes there. Ah, it's not far away. I'd love to go to Mossy Oak again, right? I'd love to be able to do that old Waverly Mossy Oak trip. Two different golf courses that are completely, one's old South, big dripping oak trees and tight fairways and a great old school golf course. And then across the street, literally less than a quarter of a mile, you got this British Open style Lynx golf course. That's one of the great trips in the Southeast in golf. Really one of the great trips in the country. Check it all out. Visit Mississippi.org. I'm looking forward to that. I got to tell you.
Oh,
can't come too soon.
We
just got to get rid of the COVID.
Same way.
Just get rid of the COVID, Barney. That's all.
That's right.
Hey, there's some tour players testing positive. The one that jumped out to me was Cameron Champ, because when he tested positive, he said, "I feel fine. I don't have any symptoms." And of course, this thing spreads via asymptomatic carriers. But he went home, and he subsequently had at least two more tests that I know of, and he tested negative.
Yeah, isn't that strange?
That was always a fear of the false positive. Fortunately, he's a winner. So, it affects his life and affects him. But imagine if that had been Will Gordon this week. Well, we'd never know.
Exactly.
The false positive is just brutal. And I guess maybe I don't know enough about the testing that you would say, well, he might have had it then and he didn't have it now. But really, over the course of 2 days, it changes from positive to negative? Isn't that hard to believe?
Well,
that's
so
brutal.
So if you were to tell me that, let's say he got tested on like day 11, 12, or 13 or something like that, and in another day or two, it's basically out of his system, but I would have assumed that he would have been tested the prior week. And so that's
right, he was.
Exactly. And so then to go a couple of days later and all of a sudden he's negative, very, very, very disturbing, very frustrating, extraordinarily annoying. Because let's say that in his case, let's say that he was playing great. Let's say he catches lightning in a bottle with a putter that he's fallen in love with. And all of a sudden, I don't get to play. And then all of a sudden, 2 days later, I'm testing negative, and I just withdrew. So again, there's plenty of frustration to go all the way around.
Well, now there's a handful of players, not only Cameron Champ, but Webb Simpson, Brooks Koepka, Chase Koepka, Graham McDowell, they all withdrew. Of course, your man crush from like high school, Nick Watney. You still man crush on him? I still loving some Nick Watney? Or you got that out of your system now?
Ned, so for everyone listening out there, Ned likes to make fun with me about Nick Watney. But what I'm doing is I've got on my radar, let's say, players that are playing well at a certain time, and then all of a sudden I always try to keep up with, are they still playing well? Are they still on the radar 2, 3, 5 years later, 10 years later, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? As in the previous segment, as I mentioned, Graeme Dillette, that he's on my radar and he's disappearing. And so going back reference to Nick Watney with a fantastic golf swing, and all of a sudden Nick Watney started disappearing, and then from there, in that conversation, Ned interprets that as me having a man crush. I'll tell you another, if you still want to call it a man crush, another guy that's got too good of a golf swing to be disappearing off the face of the earth is Sean O'Hare. Where has Sean O'Hare been?
He just plays well enough to keep making a lot of money. I think he's over it. He had a hard childhood in the sense that he played a lot of golf. He was driven exceptionally hard by his folks. But, you know, a guy who be careful now because you were talking about it. What's going on with Ricky Fowler?
Yes. And so Ricky Fowler, who was one of his main corporate sponsors, is Rocket Mortgage, as we're about to play in the Rocket Mortgage Classic here, starting as soon as tomorrow. Well, lo and behold, Ricky Fowler has just simply not been playing that well. In fact, I'd be willing to say that he's in a little bit of a slump. So, again, Ned, you've got Rory McIlroy on your radar, who's not getting the job done. I think he's playing extraordinarily well compared to Jordan Spieth, that he's absolutely on my radar. And I think Spieth is playing exceptionally well comparatively to Ricky Fowler right now, because a lot of people fail to realize that Ricky Fowler has missed the cut at Colonial. He missed the cut at Harbortown. Then he skipped last week. But then also, when he played in that made-for-TV event at Seminole, if you remember, he didn't seem all that sharp in that low event either. And now, don't look now, but Ricky Fowler, fan favorite, has slipped to 31st in the world. But more alarming than that, Ned, did you also know that he's outside the top 50 in every major strokes gained category this season?
You know, I started ringing some alarm bells. I called for PGA Tour Live at Phoenix this year, the Waste Management. And he hit some really bizarre shots, especially with his wedges, where he literally bladed a couple of wedges. You know, it was 100 yards, and he hit it 30 yards over the green, kind of bladed them. And you don't see tour players do that. The only reason you see tour players do that is if they're actively working on something in their swing, and they're thinking about swing mechanics, not the shot. And to me, that is, you know, he's too good to hit the shot from the fairway that I was seeing. And, you know, new coach and a great coach, but he left the guy he's been working with for a long time, who keeps things really simple. And I just wonder, is he chasing something? Is he trying to chase Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas? Do you think he belongs in that echelon, and he thinks he has to change his swing to get there? I hope not.
Well,
you can get there without
swing
changes.
We're going to find out as soon as tomorrow. But, Ned, I think I hear the jingle in the background, so that can only mean one thing. And so, my friend, it was a pleasure being with you again this evening. I can't wait for next week.
Yeah, Barney, you're the best, man. Love you. Have a great week. Okay, pal?
All right, you too. And, folks, keep it safe out there.